This set the stage for another meeting in the assembly in which Thucydides in many ways is at his best. And he might be a bit, more than a bit, really, prejudiced against Cleon. Nonetheless, it's worth looking at this speech in detail because it really underscores the issue of leadership in Athens. Nicias had been in charge of the operations. Typically, Nicias had acted slowly, cautiously. Plutarch and Thucydides both present him as an honorable man, as a senior man who had aristocratic values and ethos, was trusted by the older men in the assembly. But he lacked the fire of Pericles' speeches. He was loath to make any decision if he could straddle the fence. And I always think Nicias is the original guy who always thought, let's keep our options open, which means let's not decide option A, option B. Let's keep them open. In other words, let's make no decision and let something else take hold. And this is typical of Nicias. We see this pattern of his command in the siege of Syracuse. In any case, he probably did bear a lot of the responsibility for allowing this opportunity almost to escape. And he came under considerable attack in the assembly, particularly by Cleon and probably other demagogues, but Thucydides concentrates on Cleon because he was failing in his military command. And this climaxes in a speech in which Nicias is attacked violently by Cleon, and Thucydides states that Cleon hated Nicias, and Nicias in frustration, and it's not sure if he could constitutionally do this, but Nicias in frustration essentially said, look, Cleon, if you think you can do any better, meaning that all you've ever been is an orator, you've never been a general, I'll be glad to step down from my command and you can take charge. And let's pick up with Thucydides' words at this point. Cleon's first impression was that this offer was only made as a debating point, and so he was ready enough to accept it. But when he realized that the command was being handed over to him quite genuinely, he began to back out of it, saying that it was Nicias, not he, who was general. He was now indeed thoroughly scared, since he never imagined that Nicias would have gone so far as to give up his post to him. Nicias, however, repeated his offer and called the Athenians to witness that he was standing down from the command in Pylos. The Athenians behaved in the way that crowds usually do. This is Thucydides' editorial remarks about the assembly at this point. The more Cleon tried to get out of sailing to Pylos, and the more he tried to take back what he had said, the more they encouraged Nicias to hand over his command. And they shouted at Cleon, telling him that he ought to sail. The result was that Cleon, finding that there was no longer any possibility of going back on what he had said, undertook to go on the voyage. And it's if this account is accurate, it means that the assembly essentially has the right to transfer command from one man to another under extraordinary circumstances. Some scholars doubt that it actually happened. On the other hand, Thucydides was clearly writing for an Athenian audience, so I don't doubt the incident as it's reported to us. He, meaning Cleon, came forward and said that he was not frightened of the Spartans and would sail without taking a single man from Athens, only the Lemnians and Imbriams. These are allies of Athens, who were in the city, and the Peltast, who had come from Aenos. This is a city in Thrace, a Greek city on the northern shores of Thrace. These are light-armed infantry, who would be ideal for these conditions, to offer their help, and 400 archers, who were available from other quarters. With this force, together with the troops now at Pylos, he claimed that within 20 days, he would either bring the Spartans back to Athens alive, or he would kill them on the spot. Notice the forces taken were not citizen forces, and they're all specialized forces that would be used in the kind of rough, wooded terrain on that island of Sphacteria. That is the conditions of northwest Greece and northern Greece I had talked about in earlier lectures. This irresponsible claim caused a certain amount of laughter, though the more intelligent members of his audience, the sophrones is the word, the wise ones is how Thucydides puts it, were not displeased with it, since they calculated that they would enjoy an advantage either way. Either they would get rid of Cleon for the future, which is what they rather expected, or if they were wrong about this, they would have the Spartans in their power. This is perhaps one of the most ironic and amusing passages out of Thucydides, and Cleon sails off to Sphacteria to take those men. He had as his advisor Demosthenes. And it's significant that Cleon was clever enough to realize that his powers arrested in his oratory and his ability to persuade the Athenians to adopt policy rather than commanding men on the battlefield. And he couldn't have chosen a better man. Again, the account of the actual capture of the Spartans and that military unit, the Mora, which is a regiment, is approximately, had a mixture of Perioeci and Spartan citizens. The account Thucydides gives again stresses the issue of fortune.